This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
All right, everybody, welcome into, wow, that was, you know, a second I started recording, the dogs went off, but that's okay. Nobody can hear anything. It's just me on this end. Welcome into this edition of Game Gone Wrong. That's where we are with this episode of Game Gone Wrong. This is the penultimate episode of the project, guys. This is it. We are the next to last episode, episode 5 of season 8 of Game of Thrones. We're reviewing here today. It is an episode called The Bells, and that's very appropriate because bells are a very important part of this episode. So anyway, I am not alone here. Of course, I am joined by my partners in crime on this great project. I'm going to turn it over first to the man with the greatest beard in all of podcasting, the man who's going to start his own YouTube channel with grooming and beard tips, the one and only DJ. DJ, how are you doing, buddy?
I am doing really well, my friend. Fresh off this episode, I watched it again for probably, this is probably the third time. I watched it the night before last. I'm ready to get into it and talk about this, mainly because I want to get Dave's perspective here, because as you remember the last episode, Dave's understanding was shit started to fall apart here, but I think Dave's walked it back a little bit, and we're going to get into that tonight.
We are going to get into that tonight. That is for sure. Dave, I like speaking in the third person, probably did walk this back considerably just in time for the wheels to completely come off in the next episode, probably. But anyway, we are also joined by the one and only, the man of all things, chairshot.com, the one and only PC Tunney. Tunney, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm great. I enjoyed watching this episode back. I forgot how epic this episode was, and I can't wait to talk about it. I can't wait to do the next episode, though. I really can't. I'm just telling you, as from the perspective of why we're doing this,
it all comes full circle, huh?
And I think you're thinking like, and I think I've been pretty open and honest about it. Like, I am completely okay with everything that happened.
So
but we kind of, what we got into a little bit of a conversation in the DM. And I thought, let's just talk about it before we get into it. And like, I think there's one big thing, and this isn't spoiling anything. Like, I'm not giving anything away. Like, you would have no idea with where you're at, Dave, with what it is. But DJ, do you think we're on the same page with the one thing?
I'm not sure. I'll be interested. Okay. I have a couple thoughts in my head. I'll be interested when you give your reveal if I was on the money or not. And I'll tell you either way. I'll be honest with you.
No. Good. And that's what I just wanted to set that up for next time, because this was the whole premise of this whole project, because maybe there's more to this project too. Who knows?
And speaking of the maybe there's more to this project, yes, Game Gone Wrong in concept and theory will end with the next episode, where we cover the series finale of the original Game of Thrones. But the Game of Thrones universe is expanding a little bit here and there. And DJ and I, Tunney, when you had left to you, I know you went to watch the trailer for what we're going to talk about, which is, what is it, The Hedge Knight? Is that what the trailer is?
A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which is a story about the Hedge Knight.
We're going to talk about that. But DJ had asked a really interesting question, and this is no secret because you and I have talked about this as well. Bandwagon Nerds is not going to cover House of the Dragon. We've already talked about that. Patrick's not going to do it. He has his reasons for that, and that's fine. But this show can and probably should. And I'm thinking, like, you know, what we will do is Game Gone Wrong will morph into something where we'll have a different title, sure. But it'll still be Game of Thrones related, because we're not strictly covering that on Bandwagoners. We'll probably talk about it here and there. But we are going to talk about the trailer before we get into this episode 5 of, as we indicated, Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, The Hedge Knight, which is coming, I believe, January, right, to HBO Max. Is that when it's coming out.
Yes, Duncan the Tall.
We've got House of the Dragon Season 3 coming pretty soon-ish. I'm not sure if it's next year or 2027. Knowing the world, it's probably 2027. But DJ and I were talking about how when we get a firm release date for Season 3, Tunny, what we should do is do kind of like a go back in time and recap House of the Dragon Season 1 and 2. And just time it so that we review the episodes and review the last episode of Season 2 the week before Season 3 launches. And kind of cover it that way, which I'm sure you would be okay with, because House of the Dragon is such a great series as well. That's kind of, I mean, it's a little, we've got one episode left of this. What's up?
June 2026. What do you got?
2026. Okay. So I don't know what you think of that idea about us kind of going back and doing House of the Dragon, like a retrospective of that weekly until Season 3 launches and that sort of thing.
What do you want to do?
Well, let's have the meeting on air. This is fun. Want to cover the Knight of the Seven Kingdoms?
Yes.
Too, though?
Yes.
And coincide or like cover that live and then do the next one leading up to it?
Yeah, it just
basically
depends when Season 3 is going to come
this,
out.
After this, we'll kind of Knight of the Seven Kingdoms and then
yeah,
we'll go,
I figure,
which is actually pretty apropos because we're going backwards. Because
right.
Game of Thrones is the... is like 90 to 100 years after A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which is about 150 years after
House of the Dragon.
Yes. So that'd be pretty apropos to move backwards.
Right, right. I mean, this show will end, or this Game Gone Wrong will end with the next episode. We'll go on a hiatus for a few months. We'll come back when Knight of the Seven Kingdoms launches, and then we'll try and figure out when House of the Dragon Season 3 comes back, and we'll try and time the episodes. If we have to double up on a few episodes, big deal. But this Game of Thrones-centric show will continue in some form or fashion because all three of us love Game of Thrones, and it's a great series, and whatever happens in the next episode isn't going to detract from the fact that right now I'm sitting here looking at season, no matter if, even if the next episode's an absolute utter train wreck, I'm still looking at six episodes, four of them, I would say, have been great. That's still two-thirds of a damn good season of the final season of Game of Thrones. Most series, I mean, we can only hope that The Witcher Season 4 is half that good, Tunny, right?
This is, I can't complain anymore because I'm kind of the reason why we're going to do it.
We don't have to get into the Liam Hemsworth bashing on this show, but let's talk about this
Not Becky.
That is not Becky. Let's talk about this trailer for Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. And I know DJ and I were talking in the Bandwagon Nerds chat, and I have read the graphic novel for Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, so I know about Duncan the Tall and kind of how his story plays out, the reluctant hero sort of thing. You don't see too much of it in this trailer, but it feels Game of Thronesy to me, that sort of thing. Deej, I don't think you felt it quite the same way that I did, but what are your thoughts on this trailer for Knight of the Seven Kingdoms?
It looks good. I am excited for an expansion of the Game of Thrones universe. I just think, at least in this initial trailer, some of the dialogue and the feel and the vibe of it seems a little bit lighter than Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones gets kind of heavy, kind of dark in some spots. There's some heavy, silly moments in here. Guys making funny comments. And I'm not going to say it's comedy heavy because it's definitely not, but it just seems like there's a little more levity in this that I'm used to with a Game of Thrones property.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Tony, what do you think? Did this have a Game of Thrones feel to you, or was it something a little lighter than that?
Difference, I think, that DJ and all of us are feeling is this is a more classed down interpretation of these times, because we already have Game of Thrones and we already have House of the Dragon, and this is in between that. And this is, Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon are very much stories about the entirety of these worlds and the fate of them. This is not that. This is about this person living in this world, being outside of the royalty that we know that drives these other two shows within these series. So that's why it feels different. Like, this is, he's not a knight when we start here.
Right.
So it's going to be great because it's going to be so different. because it's a different aspect of looking at the world we've come to know from Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon.
Yeah, so it sounds like, you know, maybe it's because of this perspective of like the common folk, you know, looking at it through their lens that makes it feel a little bit differently. And you get to see Duncan, or Dunk as he's called at points in the novel anyway, as he rises the ranks, so to speak, from just kind of typical grunt to Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. So it looks good. It looks good. They've captured a lot of the elements that I've seen in the graphic novels and the big tournament that takes place and that sort of thing. So yeah, I'm in. I think this will be good. I can't wait for it to come out. More Game of Thrones. Fine,
you know the most about the backstory here, Dave, having read the novel. How many seasons do you think they can get out of this?
Two. Okay. They could. They split the graphic
novel
into
two parts.
You know
what? And
that
makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
They split the graphic novel into two parts. I think two seasons would be a sweet spot for them. I don't know if you'd want to stretch it farther than that, because you really don't need to. And I don't know if there's enough story to really, like, House of the Dragon's a different story where you can get four seasons out of that easy. And I think that's what they're going for, is four. This story doesn't have quite that level of depth to it. So I think, you know, you could do it all in one season, maybe, but I'd probably rather see it get two, just to enhance storytelling and let it breathe a little bit more, if that makes any sense.
Can I ask a real quick question to both of you guys before we get it going? What do you want to see as the fourth iteration in the Game of Thrones saga?
I want to see what's
West of Westeros. I'll get that out. So go ahead.
That's it. And I've even got to the last episode, but I've heard that West of Westeros statement so many times that I know that's coming. What do you want to see in a new iteration?
I'm with Tony. I want to see what's West of Westeros. I would like a continuation of a couple of the surviving characters from the original Game of Thrones series.
Well, I don't know who survives and who dies yet. I mean, I can tell you about this episode. So let's talk about this episode. Let's get into episode 5 of Game of Thrones. And it is, okay, where are we? Here we are, the bells. Yeah, I'm going to walk back a lot of the complaints I had about about where things were on this at the end of episode 4, just because they hit this thing so far out of the frickin' park, man. I think just so many elements of what's going on in this. And we knew at the end of the last episode that Dany was going to face a huge crisis of conscience because of the execution of Missandei. Boy, we get into that real quick in this episode, don't we? I mean, it hits the ground running with the execution of Varys, man. He's actively trying to get Jon on the throne, writing letters about his parentage, and who knows where that goes to. Whether did those letters get out into the world before he got, sentenced to death? Tyrion, for some reason, Varys is his friend, but he's got to inform Daenerys of the betrayal. And as part of this, you know, Varys knows he's going to go down in flames, literally. So he's burning letters. He's taken off his rings. He's getting marched onto the beach. And then Drogon burns Varys alive. And it's just kind of like we mentioned the last episode. You can see Dany unraveling at the last end of the episode 4, and it just accelerates literally each scene that she's involved in this episode is a further descent into the Targaryen madness. That's my opinion. Now, I don't know if she goes off the deep end completely in the last episode. I'm imagining, I got some thoughts about things, but this execution of Varys, one of her most trusted advisors, simply because he had more faith in Jon than her. Yeah, I get it, but that's an awfully extreme reaction. And it just kind of, and it just ties into all of what's going on with Dany in this thing. And I think a lot of it is just really what's happening with her, because like there's even that scene, and I'll turn it over to you guys. I don't want to mush too many scenes together, but her stuff at the beginning, like where Jon is calling her his queen, and you could tell that she wants something more from Jon. She wants to be seen as a woman. She wants to be seen as the love of his life, not as his queen. He cannot give that to her. And it basically, you know, pulls away from her. And she realizes that Jon may love her, but he fears her more than anything. And it kind of comes across here. And I think that really, she's isolated and alone, and she's probably a little bit scared. And her way of dealing with that is lashing out. And you see this in full throttle as the episode goes on. But I'll turn it over to you guys, whoever wants to go first. This whole stuff with her at the beginning, where you just get to see this descent into the Targaryen madness. And I'm not justifying it, but you can see why it happens. So I'll go to you guys and get your thoughts on this here.
We've talked a lot in this series about character journeys. And when you look at Danny's character journey, she starts off in the very first couple of episodes, just very young, very naive, very innocent. And they build you over 7 seasons and you build your relationship with this character and they tell you about the history of the Targaryens and they hint for 7.5 seasons that she could go crazy. You know, she's inherited the crazy gene, but you're so hopeful for 7 seasons that maybe she'll avoid it. And then she loses her husband. Then she loses the only other man in her life that truly loved her. And then she loses her confidant in Missandei. She's lost her entire moral compass at this point. So whatever thin thread she was already hanging on to, being a Targaryen to begin with, is gone. Completely severed. And I think one of the problems a lot of people may have had is that we spent six seasons definitively falling in love with this character. The 7th season, you start to see the cracks. And by this season, we are fully blown. She's headed down that path. And I think a lot of people had a lot of problems with that. But I'm looking at in totality, like they told us for 7 seasons where she was going to end up if you really pay attention.
You're right. And like you're saying, before I turn it over to Tony, the last episode we talked about when Jorah died, her moral compass went with him.
Right.
And she does not have that at all in this episode. And she desperately needs that moral compass. And it's gone. And without Jorah there to be that voice, that angel on her shoulder, boy, that devil speaks awfully loudly in this episode. And it gets the better of her. Tony, I'll go to you now. Your thoughts on Dany's descent into madness and the kind of the key factors that are going into it here early in this episode.
She explains it herself. There's no love for me here, only fear. And at the end of her interaction with John, she says, then let it be fear, right? I think John was completely out when he realized they were related. That's what I think. I don't think it's because of his lost love from north of Winterfell. I don't think it's because he fears her. I don't think he fears her. I don't think he fears a motherfucking thing, except for like the descent of everything that he's fought for. Right. That's the only thing he fears.
He fears one thing, his heritage. That's what he fears. And he doesn't want that burden.
But he's got enough. But he's a Stark. He is a Stark, though.
He is.
And there's enough Stark in there.
Right. So it's like that's why Ferris knows he's the right side of the coin. And Ferris was praying he was wrong. He said it when he was there. And you know, Tyrion, I think, realized it, and that's why he grabbed his arm. You know,
I love that scene. That Tyrion is my favorite scene in the whole episode.
Tyrion has another one, I think, that is my...
Yeah, he does.
It's 1A and 1B for whatever you prefer, but I agree with you, DJ. Yes, he knocks it out of the park. He has 2 Grand Slams in this episode.
Yes.
I think he... Do you guys think he also knows that Jon is the rightful choice for the throne? I kind of
think he's the smartest. He is the smartest person in this world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's been told that, and that's why he has succeeded. That and the help of, well, we'll get.
So let's go, because I think the other scene you're talking about is one of the most emotionally wrenching scenes in the entire series. Jaime and Tyrion say goodbye to each other. And in this scene, Jaime was captured because, you know, he got up in the middle of the night. He left dead ass Brienne behind, and he went off to try and be with Cersei. He gets caught, and he's being held captive, and Tyrion basically says, I outrank you. He gets in there with the tent with him, and their conversation is just emotionally heart-wrenching, because Tyrion opens his heart up to his brother and says, you were the only one who didn't treat me like a monster. And, you know, and just the emotion between these two brothers who know that this is probably the last time they're going to see each other is overwhelming. And Tyrion is pleading with his brother Jaime, talking about their sister, that you got to convince Cersei to surrender. And Jaime's trying to rationalize that she could still pull this off. And Tyrion's like, no, she cannot. This is not going to go the way she thinks it's going to go down. You have to get her out of the city. Get yourself out of the city. Ring the bells. Here's the dinghy. Escape here. And Jaime tries to rationalize it for a second, and then for a little while, and then he quickly comes to the realization, we are fucked.
Let me ask you guys a quick question. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Dave, because I know you know where you're gonna go. Let me ask you guys a quick question here. Do you think that Tyrion cares about obviously Jaime, obviously the innocent people in the city that are at stake in this that have done nothing. Does he also care about Cersei or no? That's just kind of an after effect that could survive because he cares about the city and Jaime.
I think he cares. I think he cares about Cersei. It's like one of those things where unrequited love, you know, that sort of thing. He wants Cersei to see him as the way Jaime does, which is not a monster. So I think he does care about his sister on some level. As much as Jaime or the innocence of King's Landing, probably not. But I think there is a level of something there. There's a level of familial love on a fucked up level, for sure. He killed his dad on the shitter, that's right. And Cersei's been every bit as horrific to him as his father had been. But I think it's still one of those things where he's longing for her acceptance right to the very end. I don't know, DJ, what do you think? Am I way off base here?
No, I think you're on to something. Again, this is his sister. He wants her acceptance. But I also think a more important thing is he's more worried if she doesn't survive, what it'll do to Jaime. And I think that may be as much a motivation for him as anything, because he loves Jaime. And again, Jaime is the one family member that never treated him like a monster. So, and he knows the attachment between Jaime and Cersei. So that's weighing heavily on him as well. Brilliant work by Peter Dinklage. I can't say enough good things about that guy.
Both of them were tremendous.
Both of them were tremendous in this scene.
I got to bring this up because we've been working for over 2.5 hours on a Friday night. So I've been having a couple cocktails and we've been having a great time. Make sure you go listen to Unidentified History. Jaime does say to Tyrion during that conversation, Tyrion asks him, how do you get caught? And he raises the gold hand. And he goes, do you ever think of taking it off? And he says, Cersei did tell me I am the dumbest Lannister ever.
Yes. That's a great
and line. When I rewatch that, I'm like, dude, make sure you fucking bring that up. And don't forget to bring that up when we do it. Because I laughed so hard. And it was so important.
It is.
To laugh there. Because it made you feel so much more when they got into that conversation, having watched it for at least the third time, probably the fifth time ever, like watching these the last season. I cried again when they hugged each other because I felt it.
So, man, the whole scene is very powerful. And then we go straight from there to the Battle of King's Landing. And think about Cersei as this is all playing out. It's ironic to a certain extent. She has the same arrogance and sense of we have a shot that Jaime does when he first starts talking to Tyrion, right? She's sitting there in the Red Keep. She's watching all this stuff play out. She's like, and even as it's just going completely wrong, you know, we're with Daenerys riding, who is it, Drogon, avoiding all the scorpions shooting at her, wipes out the Golden Fleet in a matter of seconds, takes out all the scorpions equally quickly. Cersei's sitting there telling the one guy, I forget what his name is, at all we need is one good shot. He's the one who finally gets rid of all the scorpions are gone. She knows right there they are fucked because they have no way to stop this dragon who, and I don't know, man, I don't know what you guys thought in this episode, even before Daenerys goes way off the deep end, when Drogon's just taking out the fleet and the scorpions and the battlements and all that kind of stuff. It's the first time that I saw in this series where, holy shit, these dragons are atomic bombs. I mean, the functional equivalent of an atomic bomb that is just being dropped on this city. And go ahead, Tony.
No. Maester Qyburn.
Maester Qyburn. Yeah, thank you. I mean, yeah, the city's completely overrun. The forces are decimated. Drogon wipes out the Golden Fleet and all the battlements in a matter of minutes. The war is over. Even, you know, Cersei puts her faith in her troops who will defend their queen to the bitter end. They throw their weapons down when they realize we're fucked. The Lannister army surrenders. The bells of surrender ring out. This is the sign that Tyrion was looking for. Nobody else has to die. The battle is over. Right? Wrong. Because Dany goes and yields to the madness completely. Despite the surrender, she burns King's Landing to the ground. Drogon doesn't give two fucks. No fucks given. Are you a soldier? Are you a civilian? I don't care. He burns everybody indiscriminately. Jon is on the ground. He's watching all this stuff and he's horrified, but there's nothing he can really do. The Unsullied, the Dothraki, they're slaughtering soldiers. They're slaughtering civilians. It is the worst case scenario. This is hell. This is why the title of this episode, if you guys haven't figured out, Hell's Bells, because that's really what this fucking is. They turn this place into hell.
You bring up the war on the ground and as reluctant as John is and willing to retreat and spare humanity, Grey Worm has the same mentality as Danny does.
Yep. But he's lost the love of his life. So exactly. I understand.
I mean, he throws her collar in the fire, you know. They're hell bent on destruction.
Tell there's that moment where John and him are looking at each other, and you can tell these two guys are not on the same page. Not at all.
Well, Grey Worm's like, you're either with me or you're against me, is basically the look he gives him.
Yeah, he didn't want to leave Danny's chambers when John came in to talk to her previously.
Right. His loyalty is to his queen all the way. John may say his loyalty is to his queen, but not like
this. And even more so after losing Missandei.
Yeah, the death of Missandei breaks him because she's the one who made him feel again and brought his humanity back. Yeah. So when she dies, the way she dies, it breaks him completely. But all this stuff's going on. It is a horrific sight of what's happening in the city. The civilian toll is astronomical. And I mean, it's just like, and Danny just doesn't give a fuck. No fucks given as she just raises the city to the ground. I don't know,
how many years ago was this episode?
I think it's 2019, right? I think it was like 6 years ago. So.
The cinematography is excellent.
Movie quality stuff.
It really is. I mean, they spared whatever you want to say about the last season. They spared no expense. Not with this episode, because this is some of the best cinematography, special effects, practical effects, whatever you want to call it. But what do you guys think? I mean, because you can literally see in that moment where Danny's perched on Drogon, and the bells are ringing out. And in that moment, she's got a choice to do the right thing or to engage the madness completely. She chooses the latter. And you can see her snap, just mentally gone. So what were your thoughts when this was going on? Because I was just like, I knew it was coming, but I wasn't ready for it anyway.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think a couple episodes, what was it, The Longest Night, the battle there with the walkers. I mentioned immersion. You immersed yourself in the moment, and that moment where she's perched in the highest point of the city, looking out over everything, and you can see the gears turning, you can see the shift in her. There's this pause, and it just, you're like, shit. Because there's still a moment of hope. And again, this is Emilia Clarke's brilliance. You see it play out on her face. You see it, she's like, okay, there's the bells. I know what I'm supposed to do when the bells ring, and I know what I told them. I know what I promised. And then you just see the shift.
Do you feel like it was just utter disappointment for her because she didn't think there was a chance in hell that they would have to pull back?
Right.
And then when it happened, she's like, I don't care. I'm
still
having
my... The last part of her humanity left in that moment.
Doesn't matter.
Because there was
everything I've lost, you're paying.
Yes, absolutely.
Like Tony, you're saying, like she thought there's no way that Cersei would ever surrender. And the fact that she does was so disappointing to her that she had all that bloodlust at that point, and it was too late.
This is why Tyrion is the smartest person in this universe, is because time and time and time and time again, he tells you exactly what will happen if you do something. And it happened. The problem here is Jaime doesn't make it to Cersei quick enough to go down to, we're going to get there, to ring the bells in time before they even blow out the front of the entrance. You know what I'm saying? So the gate was already open.
Yeah. So speaking of Jaime, he tries to get into the city as they're closing the gates. He's trying to take a secondary way into the city. He meets Euron in mortal combat down on the beach. They essentially kill each other, although it takes Jaime a long fucking time to die, and he never really dies from the wounds. He's taken a mortal wound, but he's able to kill Euron in this combat. And Euron, as Jaime is limping away, says, I'm the man who killed Jaime Lannister. So it's a brutal, brutal fight. But Jaime does eventually get to his sister and convinces her that this is all over and done with. Let's get the hell out of here. Jaime, as he sees on the beach, he sees the dinghy, just like Tyrion promised that it would be there. So Jaime and Cersei make their way down into the crypts where they're supposed to be able to escape, or so they think. Meanwhile, you get all this shit with the Arya and the Hound. And Arya dead set that she's going to be the one to kill Cersei. And the Hound basically tells her at one point, if you keep going down this path, you're going to die with me here. He's the one who convinces Arya to leave. And Arya actually thanks him for it. And then you get this big battle between the two Clegane brothers, the Hound and Gregor, who's now the Mountain, in this super fucking throwdown. I mean, big meaty men slapping meat. It's like Brock Lesnar versus Godzilla in this fucking thing. They kill each other because the whole Red Keep is just collapsing around them. And they both end up just falling to their death and incinerating, which is the only thing that's going to kill the mountain. So the Hound is gone. Jaime and Cersei are down in the crypts. Everything has collapsed on every escape path out of there. And, you know, two of the most important characters in the whole damn series die in a collapse of the crypts with one episode to go. And that's the end of Jaime and Cersei Lannister. Meanwhile, Arya, for her, she is caught down in the meat grinder of what is going on in the ground. And she sees the civilian genocide that is going on down there. She witnesses the full horror of Daenerys' destruction. At the end of this thing, she is bloodied. She's dust covered, the inferno, ash covered, I should say. There's a single horse wandering through the wreckage of what is King's Landing. She gets on the horse and rides off now. And that's kind of how the episode ends. So I turn to you guys to kind of recap. Jaime and Euron, their fight to the death. Clegane and the Hound, their fight to the death. And then I don't want to call it anticlimactic because that's not the right word. It is an epic death for Jaime and Cersei. But the fact that it kind of happens with one episode to go surprised me a little bit. But maybe I shouldn't have been. But your guys' thoughts on the epic conclusion to just a phenomenally powerful episode.
No, they tied everything together perfectly with all those battles and deaths and pursuits and finally making your way to the one you actually love. Look in my eyes, nothing else matters. Remember, no one else matters but us.
Yep.
Yeah. Arya leaving the Hound is sat there and watched this again for whatever time again. And I thought, you know, that motherfucker took care of her the whole fucking time. He was her dad after her dad died.
You beat me to it. Yep.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
She doesn't know it until right there at the end.
Yeah.
Everything you just said comes.
Yeah. I'm going to let you guys keep going here. And then I have some theories about the horse. So if you want to leave that, and then we can hit that as we finish this part of it, because I can throw some stuff at you guys. I researched this one pretty good and see what you guys think about it. So I'll let you guys continue about the rest of it. But like a bitch ass fucking water boy.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I was never so happy to see a fucking character.
I'll stop there and let DJ go until you guys let me throw some horse theories at you.
I was never so glad to see a character on a TV show get killed, aside from
fuck
maybe
you,
Joffrey.
Fuck you.
Right? Aside from maybe Joffrey, this son of a bitch needed to die a season ago, and he just kept coming back, man. So to see Jaime take him out was great. And then, but again, even in death, that asshole, I'm the guy who killed Jaime Lannister. I'm like, God, he still wins. Even in death, he still wins. I hate it. I hate that guy. But another good piece of storytelling was the way that the Hound and the Mountain died. Because if you think of their story and the long-term storytelling going on there, the Hound's afraid of fire. There's a particular reason for that. And in the end, he's had his eyes gouged out just about. He more or less, in wrestling vernacular, spears the Mountain through the wall, what's left of it, and they die in fire. And that's such a great exclamation point on their story. So, yeah, it's so many great things they tied up here. You know, one could question, okay, yeah, Jaime and Cersei died a certain way. But again, when you look at the totality of their story arcs, they were going to die together. And them dying together, I think, was the writers paying attention to their own work. And so Dave, you're absolutely right. We've still got one more episode to go, and two of your most important players aren't going to be in it. That's a little odd, but at the same time, looking at the way they died, it's appropriate.
Them dying together makes all the sense in the world, and that's how it should have been. Trying to live and save their child, their unborn child at the same time. So I know Tunny's going to have some thoughts about the horse. As we go into the last episode, my initial thoughts, and I don't know still, guys, to this day, I don't know what happens, and I'm trying my best to keep it that way. But my one overriding theory that I take away from this is Jon now knows he's got to be the one to put Dany down. You know, if he had any doubts about the fact that even if he doesn't give two fucks about being on the Iron Throne, he's going to know after witnessing this, she can't be there. And I think that's what's going to drive that last episode. And I don't know how they resolve that. We're going to find out. pretty soon. But that was a big takeaway I took from this, is that when John is watching this destruction on the ground and he looks at Grey Worm and he's watching all this stuff go around, he's going to probably like, fuck, Varys was right. She can't be on the throne because she is too volatile. She's too insane. It will destroy, the world will burn with her on the Iron Throne. So I imagine John's got to be the one to challenge her in some form or fashion. And that's going to lead to all, you know, conspicuous by her absence in this episode is Sansa. Nowhere to be found in this episode. You know, I imagine she's going to have a big role to play in the last episode. But I thought that was kind of interesting. But it's a tremendous episode. But, you know, you go into the last one and you're saying, well, what is left to decide? Obviously, who sits on the Iron Throne? Is it the woman with the dragon who can burn the world and take over everything? Or is it the guy who actually has the most legitimate claim? And I think we all would agree after watching this episode, he's the best choice because he's not batshit crazy.
Dave.
Say no more, Tony.
I don't think we can talk to you anymore about what you just talked about.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, I.
Oh, no. Yep. Now.
I'm looking forward to the finale. I really am, because I've come so far. And to come this far, even doing this show, to still not know how does this all turn out, I'm excited for the end of this thing. So it is a great episode, man. This was everything that was wrong with the fourth one, with people making dumb decisions and things that didn't make sense and it feeling rushed. This episode didn't feel rushed at all. Like, they took their time obliterating King's Landing. Maybe took too much time, right, Deej? I mean, maybe they stretched this out a little bit too long.
They left nothing out.
No.
I don't think so.
They really
did. They drove the point home. I think if it was anything less, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You feel a certain way about Dany after this episode.
You do.
Intentionally.
You do. And it's tough because she's always been one of my favorite characters. And she's always done the right thing, freeing the slaves, freeing all these towns, and doing the stuff that she's done to be a hero, to generate this intense loyalty. John would not have followed her if he didn't believe in her cause. And
a lot of times her ends justified her means, but her means weren't always justified.
They weren't, but I think I do think that John wouldn't have, you know, so I think like this is for him, seeing her in this reality is soul crushing for him on a certain level. And I think that's going to motivate him in the last episode. And, you know, you guys don't have to say anything else, me just smile and say, yeah, you're right.
We literally can't after the fucking tirade you went into about 5 minutes ago.
He doesn't want the throne, and he wants her to be the person on the throne. And in this moment, he realizes she can't.
Yes.
She can't. She can't do it.
Can't. She wanted, exactly. He wanted, this is who he wanted. It was her, his queen, my queen. Now he realizes, nope.
I mean, if you've been intuitive enough in following this series in whatever time you've watched it, like, you knew when Ferris said, like, I really hope I'm wrong, because he knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
He told you at the beginning of the episode, if you were intuitive enough, you knew what was going to happen in this episode after that, after his speakings at his death.
Yeah.
Guys, we got one episode left in this project, and it is the grand finale. And we will determine once and for all, did the game go wrong, or are all these motherfuckers just overreacting to this stuff? And Tunny's leaning in with the eyebrow raised. There you go. We've talked about it. Now you guys actually get to see it on video for the first time ever. And he's even got the eyebrow lifting. It's like, yeah, I smell what you're cooking, buddy. I smell it. It smells like a work. Maybe a shoot.
Do not go in there. Whoa.
Yeah, before we get to the last episode, guys, this has been a great project. I will say that before we even get to the end of this thing. This is all Tunney's idea. It's been a great idea. I can't wait to see how this ends up, because like I said, 2/3 of this season has been way better than I ever thought it was going to be. Because you hear all the rumors, you hear all the stories, and by and large, this has been every bit as good as any of the first 7 seasons, with one episode that was kind of a wobbler. But the rest of it has been, man. And this one, this may have been the best episode of the fucking, well, The Longest Night was probably the best.
The Longest Night was still the best episode, but this season is like 1A, 1B.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. DJ and I are at our most, like, for us too, it's our most excited point for you to find out what, like, we've been waiting for you. We couldn't tell you this, but we've literally been waiting for you just to watch this episode.
Well, it'll be coming up in the next few weeks. I'm sure of it. That's going to do it, guys. Before we cut out of here, let everybody know where they can follow you on social media and every place else on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Tony, let's go with you this time. Let's start with you, sir.
PC Tony, everything, social media. If you really want to get a hold of me, go on X, thechairshot.com. Tons of wrestling coverage there. Like, Stephen Mitchell is fucking amazing. Andrew Blaz has you covered with TNA. Mitchell's got NXT, WWE, New Japan, AEW, everything. And then, you know, you can find us on all your favorite streaming platforms, Chairshot Radio Network. And then attitudeofaggression.com, man, brilliant website. Tons of stuff going on over there. Unidentified history we're doing, Big Five, everything. Dave's got it going on. So make sure you're checking all of that out. And then there's this little show called the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. They're quite entertaining. I would try to
hear they're
that
good
as well.
I hear they're really good.
I mean, you can just kind of relax and listen.
DJ,
this week it's about a belly button.
Yes, our good friend recovering from anal probing. Something else. No, Deej, when people want to check out the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, or if they're looking for grooming tips for your beard, where can they go to follow you?
You can find me on the app formerly known as Twitter at The Mindless Pod. Again, you can listen to myself, Robin, Jason on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We drop every Saturday on thechairshot.com and all your favorite podcasting platforms. We are also on YouTube. I haven't gotten a whole lot on that channel yet. I'm still working on trying to curate that a little bit better. Again, it is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
As for me, you can follow me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. As Tony mentioned, go to the website, attitudeofaggression.com, which has been significantly revamped in the last few months. All the episodes of the Big Five Project, Unidentified History, Game Gone Wrong, it's all there on the website. Please go there, download to your heart's content. You can follow or go to facebook.com/attitudeofaggression or at attitudeofaggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads, whatever platform you're listening to us on. If you're listening to us on Apple or on Spotify, if you like what we've done, please leave us a 5-star review. It lets me, Tony, and DJ know that we're doing a good job with this Game of Thrones. Tony's got his kitties. Also, for the first time in the history of the show, you can watch us on YouTube, as we are now putting out full video episodes of Unidentified History, Game Gone Wrong. I'm sure the next edition of a Big Five Project, which will be WrestleMania 12, will go up on YouTube as well. So if you go there, by all means, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You know, let's get over to like 100 subscribers one of these days. Leave us some comments, as long as they're not too inflammatory or stupid, because if they are, I'll just ignore you. You know, that's just how we roll. But until next time, the finale of Game Gone Wrong comes up on the next time we come back here. Until then, guys, this has been Game Gone Wrong. Maybe, maybe not. We're going to see where we end up with this thing and the next one. Until then, everybody take care. Have a great evening.